6 yards back, second and 16. Miller pressured again. Flag is thrown. Ball is loose. Here's KGB again. It was Joe Johnson who created it, and KGB, at least for the moment, has a touchdown, pending the penalty.
And Jim Miller didn't see Joe Johnson coming at all. He started to go to the left, then he started to scramble back the other way, and he got whammed by Joe Johnson.
You wonder, why are you playing that old sound from Monday Night Football? Well, that Kabir Baja Biyamila is the subject of, how would you describe this new podcast from Kalen Kaler? Harrowing, troubling, and certainly fascinating.
Informative.
The podcast is called The Split, the first episode of Spiraled, and episode one has dropped today, wherever you get your podcast. Kalen Kaler is joining us in studio. So Spiraled is this project of yours. It's a side gig. Who knew that you had time to do this kind of investigative work? It's amazing.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me here to talk about it, because it's really exciting. And I've been working on this for, honestly, the last 3 years. I think I've had three full-time jobs in the span of doing this podcast. So it has really been quite a journey. But it started in 2020 when I started reporting the story in just digital written form for Sports Illustrated. And it ran in a three-part series then. And it's an investigative series. It starts with Kabir Baja Biyamila, who we just heard, sacking Jim Miller there, which is a great pull. Like, awesome job, guys, on that. It starts with him because in 2019, there was a very weird, strange incident in Green Bay where he made local headlines because two of his friends that were being reported as being his followers, which wasn't necessarily true at the time, but that's how the local media was reporting it. They had shown up at his children's Christmas show. They went to a private Christian school and they were having a regular, you know, their annual Christmas program. And his friends had shown up and they were carrying loaded guns and knives. And, you know, the headmaster recognized them and was like, okay, I'm uncomfortable with you guys being here, because at that point, Kabir had kind of expressed that he wasn't down with Christianity anymore. And he had split with his wife and he had seven children who were all involved in the school in some capacity. And anyways, long story short, his friends get arrested for trespassing and not having a license to carry guns. And then this whole thing became public and Kabir started talking about what he believed, but it didn't really make sense. And none of the reporting really made sense to me. And so one of my editors sent me the link to, I think it was like a Green Bay Press Gazette article. And he was like, this feels like something really big. Like, maybe you should just start, you know, calling around and see what happens. And I think I started with some former Packers players that knew Kabir very well and were still involved in like the, you know, Packers alumni community. And it became very clear that like everybody was really concerned about him and the community was scared. And, you know, the school went to Christmas break 2 days early and hired private security because they were like, you know, we don't know what to think about this because these guys had weapons. And then Kabir had made a comment earlier that day that the headmaster had viewed as threatening, where he was like, look, you know, black people don't shoot up schools, but white people do. And his friends were white. So the whole thing was just very, very, very strange. And from there, as I start reporting, I find out there's actually more NFL players, former players who are involved. Robert Mathis, who is probably the biggest name, could be a Hall of Famer someday. He's in the Colts Ring of Honor. He's part of this, and he lives in a community of the group in Logansport, Indiana, which is rural Indiana. And then there's two more other former players, one of whom made national news in July when he was arrested. This is Daniel Muir. He played for the Packers as well, but he also played for the Colts for longer. So I think he'd be more associated with the Colts, but he's kind of a journeyman defensive lineman. Him and Robert Mathis live on the same community in Logansport, Indiana, and a SWAT team raided the community on July 1st.
Of this year?
This year. So I had to go back into, we were done with the podcast by that point. We were just kind of like waiting to release it. And I had to go back in and add like a 5-minute addendum. So not to spoil the ending for everybody, but there will be like, it will end on this most recent note of Daniel Muir and his wife getting arrested. And essentially they were arrested on charges of obstruction of justice and domestic battery, because it's a very long, convoluted story, but they were searching for their son. The police were searching for their 14-year-old son who had been with his grandmother. And when the grandma picked him up, he had a black eye, his face was swollen, and he said that his dad had beat him. So then the parents go pick up the kid. Sorry, I don't know if any of this is making sense.
No,
no,
parents,
see, this is going intense.
The parents go pick up the kid from the grandma's because they realize the grandma is going to call police and report this. And they're like, oh, no, this can't happen. So they go get the kid from the grandma's, their son. And the police are, then he becomes a missing child because DCS tries to contact them over and over again because the grandma then did report to Indiana Child Services.
Good.
And they're searching for him. And Daniel Muir and his wife are not cooperating. They're not answering the door. They're not showing, you know, DCS needs to go in and like just lay eyes on your kids and like ask questions.
A wellness check. Oh,
basically, yeah. And they're not cooperating. So it ultimately, after 10 days of that, it ultimately came to the point where a SWAT team raided and arrested them. So that happened in July. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I was really not surprised because I had actually ended the podcast on like a sentence being like, I don't know what's next, but I'm going to keep watching these players and this group because they, you know, there were all these sort of little run-ins here and there, but law enforcement, up until July, law enforcement had never had reason to enter one of the communities and actually search and like find things. And, you know, I don't even know what all they found.
Especially after what's happened at, say, you know, Ruby Ridge and the Branch Davidians and this is only a local SWAT? Was this
It was Indiana State Police. And then there were like the town police and I think the county sheriff was there too. Like they had a bunch of different
entities. But nothing federal yet?
No.
Okay.
However, the grandmother did live in Ohio, so they took the kid from Ohio to Indiana. There is potential for that. And I do think, like, I was at Colts camp a couple weeks ago, and on my way back, I was like, I'm going to go to Logansport. It's about an hour north of Indianapolis. And so, because, you know, when you call these people, like, the prosecutor, like, they're never in their office. You know, the judges are not, you know, they go home at, like, 2 p.m. in Logansport, Indiana. Like, there's not a lot going on. So I went up there to try to get these guys in person, and I did get to talk to the judge, and I did get to talk to the prosecutor, who are going to be handling these charges that Daniel Muir and Kristen Muir, his wife, are facing. And I was just begging the prosecutor. I was like, you just got to tell me, like, is there something else that's going to come out of this aside from the two charges that we already know about? Because those charges are actually not very serious. Like, they could pay $15,000 likely and get off and not even have to go to jail. So they're not super serious. They're the lowest level felonies, and one of them is a misdemeanor charge. So it's not a big deal as far as long-term things are concerned, but I'm just like, tell me if there's going to be something else here. Like, did you find anything else? Like, is there going to be more that comes out of this? And he just kind of looked at me and was like, I have all those answers, but I can't tell you that. And so, I was just like, wow.
Don't tell that to a reporter.
I know.
Then there's going to be more digging.
So, because I couldn't get the search warrant, because it's part of the criminal investigation and it's under lock and key right now. And I couldn't get the incident report, which would have described like what they found in the community and the properties when they went in on July 1st. So there's a lot of questions I still have. But it's a very interesting, the whole story is really fascinating. And there's like a lot of themes of just outside of sports, like searching for identity when you leave your career, you know, hyper masculinity. These players were, when they left the NFL, they were really searching for that same structure of being around, you know, strong men all the time. And Kabir kept saying he felt like Christianity was like too feminine. And I think we see a lot of that going on in today's society. And then also YouTube is a huge part of this. They all sort of got involved in this because they stumbled on the YouTube channel of the pastor.
Who's the pastor?
His name is Pastor Dowell, Charles Dowell. And he is a former Army. He was in the Army for about a decade. Then he started preaching in Tennessee. And ultimately, he was part of a different group that was also pretty problematic, led by a radio preacher named R.G. Stair. And he was called the Last Day Prophet of God. And he had told his followers in the year 2000 the world was going to end. And it didn't. And so then when it didn't end, Dowell kind of branched off and formed his own group. And then R.G. Stair actually ended up going to prison for charges of I'm going to get the charges wrong, but essentially he was charged for like inappropriate behavior to young women in his church. So there's a lot of that this group comes out of. And so, yeah, the whole story, I mean, I was working on this in 2020, which was a perfect year because I originally started in 2020. It was a perfect year because there was like nothing else going on. Like for that spring and summer, like we didn't know what was going to be happening. Cause I was just like digging on YouTube and just calling people. And like every day there was like something new to learn, which was really fun.
Kabir was, he was raised Muslim and then they converted to Christianity.
So his, yeah. So his family is from Nigeria. So they were Muslim in Nigeria and he did, I think they were culturally Muslim. And then they also went to church when he was growing up. So he was around both things, but he more identified as being Muslim. And then when he met his first wife, Eileen, who is a big part of episode one, and that was really cool to get to talk to her because she didn't want to participate when I first did this for Sports Illustrated because it was a little too recent. Things were too fresh. And she was like, I just don't want to go there. But she did participate in this podcast and it's really interesting to hear her perspective on things. So when they got together, she had just become a Christian and was really passionate about it and was trying to, you know, tell him about her faith. And then through her and maybe because of her, Kabir became a Christian as well. And then he became even more vocal about it than even she was.
And then this group claims to be Hebrew Israelite, yes, obedient to Yah and their savior, who they describe as Jesus the Christ. And they call themselves Israelites of Straightway.
Yes, they're like a mix of a lot of things. So they're Hebrew Israelites, but Hebrew Israelites, there's a huge spectrum of what that means. Some groups only allow Black people into the group, and they're very anti any other race. This group is not. They're a little bit more open. They have white people. They have Hispanic people. They've got sort of a range of races involved. You know, and some of them are very anti-Semitic. And this pastor certainly is. If you go on his YouTube channel, he's very anti-Semitic. He is misogynistic. He is homophobic. All of your isms that you can think of, he's pretty much, that's his language on his YouTube page. And so the groups sort of adopt all of that, you know, thinking as well. And so they're also a little bit prepper ideology, like they're preparing for the end times. And they really believe in arming themselves and training with weapons. And a lot of their YouTube content is target practice and showing off their guns. Like the pastor, whenever he's on his YouTube, he's got like giant rifles behind him hanging up. And that's sort of part of his like macho brand. Yeah. So they're kind of a fascinating mix of different like popular topics. And they evolve too. Like they also practice polygyny, but that wasn't always the case. The pastor sort of brought that in at a certain point, and then a bunch of people left, but then a bunch of people came, you know, because some people were like, we don't want to be part of that. And then, but that's sort of something that he wanted to do. So it's sort of like, you know, when you have a leader in charge who's just sort of doing literally whatever he wants, and then he's making that the group's ideology and finding biblical verses to support it and all of that. So it's been really interesting to watch, even over the last like 4 years, like how some of the things he talks about have changed. And, you know, and they don't believe, they're a little bit sovereign citizen as well. They don't believe
they're on every list.
Birth certificates or marriage certificates or marriage licenses. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the laws they hate the government. Apply to them.
Yep. They don't like the government. And in Green Bay, when the two guys that Kabir sent to the Christmas program, when they were going through the court system for their charges, there were some of the most insane filings I've ever read. Like handwritten things being like, I, man, do not recognize the state of Wisconsin. You know, that type of language of like trying to separate, make yourself like a, almost like a shell company, right? Like, it's not me. I'm being represented by, honestly, it's like so, it's so complicated. I barely even understand it, but they do it to like, you know, muck up the court system and make it crowded so that you're just making the judge's life harder. And if you, you know, read through the filings and like, there was some like court TV stuff on it. Like the judges are just so exhausted. They're just like, get out of my courtroom. You know, like this is not how things work, but that's how they handle it.
Spiraled is the name of the podcast. If you're looking for it, you're like, wait, what is this? Spiraled is the name of the podcast. You can see our friend Kaylin and all of the digging that she's done. With something like this, considering, and luckily there hasn't been tragedy yet with this.
Have you been threatened?
When I first came out with this story, it wasn't anything serious, but I got a lot of mean comments. No, like, threats. And actually, like, Robert Mathis thanked me, you know, and so did Kabir, because they, and this is something you have to think about too when you do a story like this, like, am I promoting this by writing about it, by giving them attention? People are now going to read about this group that
by platforming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you are, in a sense, by reporting on what's happened, you're drawing attention to the group that they didn't have before.
Yeah, but you got to shine sunlight to disinfect, though.
That's true. Yeah. So I didn't get any actual threats, but I did get challenged to a debate by Pastor Dowell, because he knew for a while that I was working on this. And so he's like, Sports Illustrated wants to interview me. I'll do a live debate. And I'm like, that's just not, like, that's not, I'm not here.
It's not what you're,
it's not how this
I'm
works.
Not here to debate you. I'm just here to ask questions and, like, see what you have to say about it. So needless to say, we did not end up debating each other on YouTube Live. That was not something that I was going to agree to. But yeah, I haven't heard from them since this podcast has come out. So we'll see. I'm not sure if they're going to care or have any response, but none of them participated in the podcast. Kabir did participate in the story 4 years ago. We had a 6-hour interview. It was the longest interview of my life. He never got up to go to the bathroom. He never got a drink of water. I took like 3 breaks. I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm going to need to get a snack. Like, he was just powering through. And that's what's really interesting about him, is he was very much like a local hero in Green Bay, and now he's not at all anymore.
He campaigned in Green Bay, right? For Scott Walker?
Yes. And he was beloved, and he's really charismatic. Like, he's still, even though he's changed all his beliefs, left his family behind, is unrecognizable in many ways, he's still super charismatic, super friendly. Like, when I was talking to him for 6 hours, it was not like combative in any way. It was like very inviting, and like, he wanted to participate in the podcast. I could tell because I talked to him a few times where I'm like telling him what I was doing, and ultimately he's like, I'm not going to be able to. And I think it's because he wasn't given permission to. But he still is like a super charismatic guy, and I think that's sort of, he has people living at his home in Green Bay. He's got a community in Green Bay of this group, and I think that lends it well for him, because he is someone that, you know, you naturally want to follow.
Does he have a relationship at all with Akbar? Because Akbar has become really, really popular, and he is very mainstream.
Very mainstream. I think they do still have a relationship. I wanted to talk to Akbar for this. I wasn't able to like get through to him. I did have a conversation with him after the first story ran, and it wasn't for the story. It was just after it came out, and we talked about a few things. I think they do still have a relationship. I'm not sure how much time they spend together, but I don't think, I don't think it's like his wife where there's really no contact anymore. I think they do still have a relationship. And I think, I know Akbar is not involved in what Kabir is at all, but I think there is a level of understanding between them.